And if you want to be a part of the conversation too, then subscribe to my Patreon, www.patreon.com/MrChaz, and join the conversation. Ask your own questions.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your leadership, parenting, or teaching journey. And today, I think I got a really powerful episode that might change the way that you really see things, might uncover a lot of stuff for you. I'm going to talk about these two different thought systems, these kind of this traditional, older thought system and kind of a newer approach that is more focused on, you know, connection and collaboration, and really I think this thought system, we're actually going to compare the two. We're going to be able to compare and contrast. And I really encourage you to do this with yourself, and then after you listen to it yourself, to take it to, you know, your partner and do it with them. Or take it to your team and do it with them. If you're in a school or maybe even in a leadership position, you know, take it to your coworkers, your co-teacher, your aunts, your niece, your uncles. Just really think about this. This can be a really powerful exercise to just uncover some of the traditional beliefs that we may not even be conscious of. So without further ado, let's get started. And so it's really going to break it down into three different categories. I'm going to talk about kind of the belief system, the cultural, traditional belief system that we have. Then we're going to talk about what that belief system teaches children. And then we're also going to talk about what kind of character it models for them. That we're modeling for them, so they're going to be more likely to replicate and mimic and eventually become. So let's get into the first one. The first old traditional belief system, cultural disposition, is that it is possible to make others change. The more insubordinate the child, the more force is justified. What does that teach children? It teaches them that when others, adults and friends, don't do what I want, it's okay to force, coerce, and manipulate. What character is in modeling? Bullying and manipulation. Now, you know, on the other side, what is kind of this new way? What could we replace that with, right? And as I'm talking about, like, what percentage of that, like, do you feel like you really connect with that? Do you believe that? What percentage? Like 10%, 5%, a lot, a little bit? Just give some kind of gauge of how much that resonates with you, how much you believe that. But the kind of newer way of thinking is, the conscious discipline way of thinking is, changing myself is possible. What does that teach children? If I want others to change, I must first change my response and or perception. And what kind of character is that modeling to children? Integrity. So how much do you connect with that? Changing myself is possible. If I want others to change, I must first change my response and perception, and the character that it's modeling is integrity. Think about that. Next one. The traditional belief is, failure to make children behave equals my failure. Success in making children behave demonstrates my power and authority. And we see this a lot happen. I mean, it happens with parents, right? Especially when you're out in public and you're feeling that judgment, and they are not meeting your expectations, or the adult expectations, or they're having a moment and they're throwing a tantrum, or they're not following the direction that you gave them, and you start to maybe even feel a little bit of that judgment, or maybe a little bit of that embarrassment. And it's, you know, because we have this traditional belief that I'm failing if I can't get this child to behave in the way that I want them to behave, and this happens a lot with teachers too. You're a good teacher, and if you can, you know, get them to sit down and shut up throughout your entire lesson, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're that they're learning. You might be doing a lot of teaching, but there may not be a lot of learning going on. And so what does that teach children? What does that traditional model teach children? That my power comes from controlling others. And your behavior creates my success or failure. And when we do that, we're giving our power away. You know, what you, you know, who you put in charge of your feelings, you put in charge of yourself. And the character model there is controlling. Right? This creates more controlling attitudes. And, you know, I see this so clearly happen in classrooms. And even myself, when if it's a day where I'm feeling a little bit more controlling, and again, that happens, I'm aware enough to recognize that I am more controlling in the classroom when I'm that thought system is creeping up because it's so ingrained in us that I need to make these children behave for, you know, someone else. I need to make them act a certain way to impress some other teacher, administrator, whatever it is. And so a newer way of thinking, a healthier way of thinking is, by choosing to control myself instead of trying to control others, I can have profound effects on my environment. What does that teach children? That my power comes from within me, and my choices create my successes and failures. What kind of character does that model to children that they will, again, mimic and replicate and become self-disciplined is what that models, right? And by choosing, by recognizing that my power comes from within and not from my ability to control you, I am now, you know, responsible for my own decisions. There's no, like, you made me put you in timeout. You made me spank you, right? It's about self-discipline, right? It's so funny. We always talk about, you know, we'll say, like, don't make me spank you, right? Don't make me put you in timeout. But then we'll sit around and simultaneously when a child is said, now they told me to do it, and we'll say, well, you're in control of your own choices. No one can make you do anything, right? If they jumped off a bridge, would you do it, right? And so you can see how that is can be confusing for a child. Next one. When I fail to make someone obey, I defend, deny, or blame to save my sense of self-worth. What does that teach children? Personal responsibility threatens my self-worth. What kind of character does that model? Defensiveness. This is why people, when you're trying to give, you know, feedback to people, or you're trying to, you know, have a conversation about how, you know, you can improve, and maybe, especially you might be in a leadership position, or, you know, supervising, or you're a teacher and you're trying to, you know, correct behavior, or you are a parent and you're trying to correct behavior and they get really defensive, and they blame others. Well, they made me do it. They were touching me, and they put on, it's because we're having a hard time taking personal responsibility, because if I admit that I made a mistake or that I messed up or that I'm having a hard time, that threatens, you know, how you will see me, and I might be ostracized from the group. And what that means, if I'm not connected to the group, you know, my brain is starting to go into survival mode, starting to go into an emotional state where it's a me versus, I need to protect myself. I need the group to survive. Our brain knows that we need the group to survive, that we need each other. And so we start to we have this fear that we won't be connected to each other if we admit a mistake. And so it makes it really hard for us to take responsibility for our actions. So we get defensive to protect ourselves. Because then we're not open to hearing what the other person's saying, and we're not open to change. Now, how could we replace that with a different way of thinking? Instead, we can replace that belief with failure to help children be successful requires me to obtain more information. What does that teach children? When the world does not go my way, seek additional help or information. What kind of character does that model? Perseverance. So there are going to be times where we don't know what to do, where a child is having a meltdown, and it could be for a variety of reasons, and we may not even be aware of exactly what it is. But instead of blaming the child and saying it's your fault, like you need to act right so that I can act right, we can really take that responsibility and say, okay, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be another way. There's got to be a way that I can help you and support you. And going out and finding that way. That's honestly how I even fell into all of this stuff. Because I didn't start off with the traditional belief systems and implementing it and modeling these characters like a lot of us did. Like probably most of us did. I would venture to say probably 99.999% of us started off with these traditional belief systems. And then started, maybe you became a parent, or you started, you know, working in a classroom, started working with children, or in mental health, or whatever it is. And then you're like, oh man, there's got to be you start to realize like this doesn't feel right, or this isn't right. And so you said at some point, there's got to be a better way. And then you persevere to find that better way and to practice that better way. And you're probably listening to this podcast episode right now because you're still persevering and trying to find that better way and trying to improve. But it's still very easy, even if you're listening to this podcast religiously, it is still very easy to fall into these traditional models because they are conditioned inside of our body. So even when we learn the new way, we still got to fight our body. And the hope is that when we learn a new way and we can respond to children in this new way, this more helpful and effective and healthy way, that they don't have to fight the conditioning as much as we do or we did. So let's go to the next one. So the traditional belief system is, if others would change, do as I say, I could be happy, kind, and caring. What does that teach children? My happiness depends on the world going my way. My happiness depends on the world going my way. And what kind of character does that model? Impatience. And, you know, so my happiness depends on the world going my way. You know what we call that? That's a toddler, right? And it's because toddlers don't have the capacity for self-regulation, so they need us to co-regulate with them. So, you know, toddlers very much, you see that, you know, they want the red cup and you give them the blue cup. It didn't go their way, the way that they were expecting, the way that they were hoping. And they have a meltdown, right? And they're like, I could have been that, you know, toddler's like, if you just gave me the cup that I wanted, then I could have been a happy child and we could have moved on, right? And toddlers get a pass with it. Toddler, you know, it's understandable because that is, they don't have much of a capacity to control that, and they're looking for us to model something different, to learn a different way. But the thing about that is that it, you know, if a lot of us were toddlers and we never had a different way modeled, and so it's what we continue to model, and so some of us are still toddlers and we never really grew out of it. We're still trying to fight that toddlerhood of when things don't go our way, of really being able to self-regulate and being able to still, you know, problem solve and still be who we commit to being, being the parent we want to be, being the teacher we want to be, right? Just because a child comes in who is having a hard time, you know, that doesn't mean that should change who we are as a person, right? That's giving that toddler way too much power. You know, I'm all for giving toddlers some power, you know, but not the power over us adults. You know, that's way too much power. So what's a different way to think about it? My happiness, kindness, and caring come from my own choices, actions, and willingness to see the best in others. And what does that teach children? That happiness is an inside job and is dependent on how I choose to perceive the situation. And what is the character modeled there? Compassion and caring. And when I hear that too, I'm also, there's also like another voice in me that's like, well, like, what about like, you know, what about people who have like, you know, there are not even just times, I'm not even just talking about times right now, but I'm even talking about, thinking about historically, there are times where people were, had no control over the situation that they were put in and had very, you know, I would say, you know, I would look objectively miserable lives, you know, like when you're forced into a situation. And again, a lot of those, you know, and I think the big thing is that a lot of times this happens, people end up in, people are forced into situations, into conditions, currently and in history, where they got a really hard life, a really tough life, more difficult than anyone right now who's listening to this podcast and has got Wi-Fi and has time to listen to this podcast has, right? And even in any of those situations, you know, there's always those stories, not maybe not a lot of stories, but there's always those stories of those people who still found happiness, right? You know, we think that, like, we always say, you know, money buys happiness. And, you know, there are people that do not have the privileges that whoever is listening to this podcast has, but are happier than you, than me. And that's because it's an inside job. And that doesn't negate the, you know, systems of things and that things, you know, that things should change. It doesn't negate that. But it's just recognizing that even in those situations, there are people who have this incredible skill for compassion and caring. And I say incredible skill because it's above what the average human has to still find happiness and compassion, right? You know, classic example is Anne Frank. I think that's probably one of the most classic cliche examples. But there are many more examples in history. And I can just rattle off a bunch of cliches and, you know, we could say a lot about them. But I'm going to move on to the next one because I could talk a lot about that and go into even more nuance. Send me a message, DM me, say you heard the podcast and you want to talk about more nuance. Let's talk about it there. But I want to move on because there's so much more to talk about here. Let's talk. So the next traditional belief system is, I must get children to feel bad in order for them to learn how to behave better in the future. What does that teach children? Getting even and inflicting guilt are acceptable answers to life's upsets. What kind of character does that model? Vengeance. And this is very, you know, when people say like, they need to learn the consequences of their actions. So that's why I spank them. That's why isolate them for such lessons. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry also too. I want to apologize for anyone who, you know, I use the word timeouts, and I know timeouts mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I'm going to just actually just talk about forced isolation. Is really what I'm talking about here. And that is with the intention to, you know, make a child feel bad about what they did. Forced isolation. So a lot of times we think we got a pinch or chancla or yell or whatever to get the child to behave better in the future. And all that teaches is vengeance. And a lot of times that comes from our own internal, I feel bad, I can't handle this uncomfortable feeling, so I got to put that on you. And you won't learn today, kind of thing, right? Not to ever say that again, because I'm a hit it out of you. I'm going to hurt it out of you. And, you know, what does that become as we get older, right? And when we feel uncomfortable feelings in the workplace, and in our relationships, right? In a classroom, and this happens. I'm telling you, I've been a teacher, and not just a teacher, but I've been in the position where I've observed teachers and coached teachers and had the opportunity to observe teachers in cameras when they don't realize that we're watching, we're looking, and even observe situations that have happened, kind of after the fact. And vengeance is a real thing for teachers. I'm gonna tell you, because I'm gonna talk about teachers because that's super close to home, but also very much for parents too. And a child makes us feel bad about something, or doesn't allow us to, you know, we have a hard time figuring out how to finish the lesson. So we got to do something to get back at that child. And it happens. And I'm going to tell you, it happens a lot. And it's because we don't have this other way of thinking, this kind of this healthier, more effective way of thinking and processing all that. And so what is the other way? How can we, what's a different belief that we can replace that with? In order for children to behave well, I must teach the necessary skills through modeling. Now, what does that teach them? You must teach others how to treat you. You cannot expect them to magically know. And what is the character model there? Respect. That is how you get children to learn respect, right? That is how you model respect for others, for humans. Like, you're having a hard time, you don't have the skills in this moment to solve this problem, to sit down in circle time. You don't have the skills in this moment to communicate your discontent for this thing that has to happen. You don't have the skills in this moment to continue sitting at the table and finish until for the allotted amount of time that, you know, I expect you to. You don't have the skills in this moment to transition from an iPad or, you know, screens. You don't have the skills in this moment to calm yourself down and to put yourself to sleep. These are things, you know, we have to teach this, because you don't have the impulse control. You don't have the perspective taking. You don't have the, you know, you don't have the empathy or the composure. You know, these are skills that we got to teach. And that, quite honestly, we struggle with a lot of times too. So let's move on to the next one. The traditional belief is conflict is bad and must be eliminated at all costs. And I don't know if I've already put out this podcast episode, but I, you know, this is something that I've been kind of already talking about. It's kind of been a really a big theme for me at this conference of CD2. And what does that teach children? War is necessary. And you brought it on yourself. If I'm good enough, conflict will never trouble me. And what kind of character does that model? Intolerance, right? If I'm good enough, if you're experiencing conflicts, is because, you know, it's you brought it on yourself. This is you need to lift yourself up by your bootstraps. If you know, this wouldn't be happening to you if you were better. This wouldn't be happening to me if I were better. Right? I'm not a good enough. It's because I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good leader. I'm not a good teacher. Right? This is the self-talk that this creates. And then when conflict happens, we have a hard time tolerating it. And we get in our survival state, in our emotional states, we lash out, we shut down, we get aggressive, we attack when conflict happens. We create war amongst ourselves, amongst our community, amongst our family, amongst our in our classroom, in our closest relationships. Now, how do we change that? What's a different way of thinking about that? The conflict promotes growth. It presents me with an opportunity to learn a missing skill or let go of limiting beliefs. This is a really powerful one, I think, I got one more after this, but this is a really powerful one to kind of be ending with, because the conflict, all the other ones I talked about, conflict comes up and these things, these old belief systems show up in our body and they come out of our mouth and we give them to children and they digest them and they end up regurgitating them amongst their peers and to each other and they grow up and it's in their body and it regurgitates and goes on and on and on. But this conflict that we have, right, with our old belief system and with children, when they're having a hard, when they're not transitioning like we want them to, when they are they're hurting someone else or they're hurting themselves or they're saying, you know, maybe they're doing something physically or they're doing something verbally. These are moments of conflict. They're throwing the chair. They're spitting at you. These are huge moments of conflict where they say they hate you. When they say that you're not my real mom. When they say, no, you, when they tell you to shut up. And sorry if your kids are listening, I just said the S word. These are opportunities to teach, really, ourselves to learn, to grow from them. Because without these opportunities, right? Without these opportunities, you, of these conflicts, which are opportunities for learning, you would just be going out your merry little life and, you know, things would be going your way, but you would not be growing. When a lot of people say, and a lot of people like started to get into this because they became a parent or they became a teacher, right? And so there was a lot of conflict that children present us with. And a lot of times we just stay stuck in our old beliefs, but if we can really see that conflict is an opportunity for learning, then we could really see that this moment is a gift. And honestly, once we, I know it's really hard, especially if you're like relatively new to this, or even if you're not new to this, or this thought is new to you, it can be really hard to see that until you get to the other side. And once it becomes like more part of your new belief system, you become so much more tolerant of conflict, and you're already in a better position to help solve the problem and work through the problem. So what does that teach children? Conflict is an opportunity. Mistakes offer me an opportunity to learn. Say oops is our opportunity to problem solve. Right? Our opportunity to problem solve. Oops. A little acronym right there. And what character is modeled there? Forgiveness. And I really love this because, you know, it's really important for us to learn and forgive ourselves. And children will learn to forgive ourselves, and we can do that. We can grow. We can be. We can empathize. We can have empathy for ourselves, and then there's so much room for growth on the other side of that. Now, this last one. Now, this is a really great one to wrap it up. That fear. This is, remember this. So this is the traditional model. Last traditional model. Fear is the best motivator for change. Fear is the best motivator for change, right? This is ingrained in a lot of us. Fear is more powerful than love. Now this is what it teaches children. That it teaches children that fear is more powerful than love. And to look out for yourself. Look out for number one. What kind of character is that? Does that model? Exclusion, prejudice, and inequality. And what is a different thought system, a different way? How could we exchange that belief for something that is healthier for us and quite honestly for the world? That love is the best motivator for change. And before I even go even any further, right? And I'm going to speak on, you know, I got a lot of thoughts about, you know, different marginalized groups, but I'm going to, because I am black, I'm going to, you know, speak for, I'm going to talk about slavery for a moment. And, you know, not in a way to guilt anyone, and as some people might be like, oh no, like here we go. But I just, you know, you think about what the motivations were for that, right? You know, I don't really see that as a thing that happened. And see, and this is where like my Anne Frank is coming out, right? Like I don't really see the enslavement of African people. I don't really see that as like the people who enslaved them were just like inherently evil people who just wanted to do bad in the world. As much harm as they did, I don't really see them as evil people. I really see it more as they were motivated by fear, right? And you know, we can talk about all the different kinds of fear, you know, economic fear or fear of, you know, maybe it was the fear of war or maybe the fear of them not being the dominant group and being in power. And so they had to, you know, they had to overpower this group of people. They had to overpower Africans and black people to... So they could feel safer, right? So they could feel secure in themselves. And then, okay, we got to find a way to justify it. And so that's where a lot of other things came in. And the fear, and how to spread the fear to everyone. Everyone's got to feel the fear, because how else can we get a mass of people to be on board with all the horrific things that we're doing if we don't spread the fear, right? And so that's not just with, you know, I gave the example of Africans, African Americans, black people, but that's true for so many other marginalized groups, right? And so you pick it, you insert the group here, and wherever. But fear has been that motive, has been the motivator. And so a healthier, better way to think about it, a way to belief to replace that belief with is love is the best motivator for change. What does that teach children? That love is more powerful than fear. Cooperation is more effective than coercion. And what character does that model for children? Equality, citizenship, and inclusion. So I really just want you to think about all those things that I said and listen to this. This is one. I'm not going to keep too long because I really want you to listen to it over and over and over and over again, because I think if you go through this, honestly, you got a 30-minute commute. Listen to it on your commute so you can just be conscious of these old systems of beliefs. At least just be conscious of it. So you can start to make choices and start to really build your own new conditioning your body of this kind of newer, healthier, intentional way of thinking. Because, you know, the unfortunate thing is that all these traditional beliefs, these kind of mental models, they weren't, you know, the belief system that you have, it's not something that you chose, right? Most people's belief systems, it's not something that you chose. It's something you grew up with, that you were conditioned with when you were young. You were nurtured in this culture of all fear and shame. Traditional models. These were the traditional models. And so that's why, like, even with the, like, with the, I even got empathy for the racist people. And I know it's going to, you know, some people be like, oh, okay, you're taking it too far. We can have empathy, but not them, not for them. But, like, think about it. Like, those beliefs are not their own. They were just handed down to them when they were young, and it's conditioned in their body. And just like these traditional models are conditioned in your body as a parent, as a teacher, it takes work to overcome that. It takes work to even become conscious of it, to be open enough to be conscious of it, because the defensiveness, right? The intolerance. Like these things that have been conditioned in us. So I got empathy for y'all, right? I got empathy for us. And I'm hoping that my empathy can be something that you can digest. And consciously, intentionally, right? Because now we're adults. And so now we can replace those old belief systems. We can change our mind. We can do it at any time. And now that we're adults, we are in control of our belief systems. We can change our minds about these things. I don't have to believe that fear is the greatest motivator for change. I don't have to believe that if others would change and do as I say, that I could be happy, kind, and caring. I don't have to believe that when I fail to make someone obey, I defend, deny, or blame to save myself, my sense of self-worth. I don't have to believe that conflict is bad and must be eliminated at all costs. I don't have to believe these things. I don't have to believe that I have to get children to feel bad in order for them to learn how to behave better in the future. I can choose to believe that changing myself is possible. I can choose to believe that failure to help children be successful requires me to obtain more information. I can choose to believe that conflict is an opportunity for learning. I can choose to believe that love is the best motivator for change. I can choose to believe that in order for children to behave well, I must teach the necessary skills through modeling. I can choose to believe that my happiness, kindness, and caring come from my own choices, actions, and willingness to see the best in others. And I want you to know, if you're out here and you're still listening to this, especially if you're still listening to this, that I believe in your ability to change. And it's not going to happen fast. Because again, these things are conditioned in our body, but it can happen. It can happen slowly. Through consistent work, through intentional effort. And when we make this change, our children won't have to work so hard to be the change, to create the systems for change. And we can create a better world for generations and generations and generations to come.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?